D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick 102.5. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trevor, of course, the Titans made headlines yesterday when Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons got after it a little bit at training camp. Now, there is no footage of this, so we are only going off of what was reported. But here's my question for you, specifically about Cam Ward. How do you feel about Cam Ward being in the middle of it? Do you like his chutzpah, for lack of a better word, being able to poke the bear, so to speak, with Jeffrey Simmons and get mixed up in that sort of thing?
Nope. I don't like it at all. I do not like it at all. Now, it would be one thing if Jeffrey Simmons rushed the passer, and after Ward threw the ball and was looking downfield, Simmons shoved him, and then Ward shoved him back. That's necessary. Ward would have to do that. But you're right, there's no video of this, but you know, I've read, a dozen different accounts of it. And I'm going to explain what I gleaned from that, and I want you guys to tell me if that's what you understand as well before I go on, okay? Yep. So my understanding is they were in a red zone drill. Cam threw a touchdown to Calvin Ridley, and then he ran up to celebrate, ran up to Jeffrey, pushed Jeffrey in the back. Jeffrey turned around and shoved Cam in the face, and then the offensive line jumped in, and there was a brouhaha for a little bit of time, and then it was over.
That is correct.
Is that what you guys understand?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then there's a lot to unpack here. One is from Jeffrey's standpoint, one is from the media standpoint, and one is from what Jeffrey did, one is what Jeffrey said to the media afterwards. But to talk about your question directly, Adam, about Cam, I thought this was a ridiculously immature thing for Cam to do. Just a ridiculous, I'm not saying Cam's an immature man. I'm saying that this particular act was immature. Because when you think about it, they're trying to build camaraderie with this team. They're trying to build cohesiveness with this team. Cam, his effort over the course of any given practice, wearing a red jersey so no one can touch him, amounts to cardio. His frustration happens when, gee, he missed a receiver or a receiver fell down. Oh, okay. That's when the quarterback gets frustrated. Meantime, Jeffrey is battling every play against some of the biggest, most violent, most athletic men on the planet. One of them often is J.C. Latham, the right tackle. Those guys are going at it every play, one way or the other, when they're in drills where it's not just walk-through drills, right? Sometimes you win, and sometimes the other side just gets under your pads and drives you back and embarrasses you. And that's the nature of the game. You don't like it, but you accept it, and you line up and run the next play. So after hours of doing that, Cam throws a touchdown pass at the end of this practice. Jeffrey has his back turned. Cam runs up and pushes him in the back. Well, guess what? From Jeffrey's standpoint, you don't know who pushed you in the back. But anytime you get pushed in the back, that's a fight. Sorry, that's a fight. Now you turn around. And Cam did his little zombie move, show up, mocking, in your face kind of move, right there in front of Jeffrey. And Jeffrey shoved him back. Didn't punch him. Jeffrey shoved him. Now, Cam walked up to a guy that had been physically battling, another 300-plus pound guy, for a couple of hours, shoved him in the back, and then mocked him to his face at the end of that long, hot practice. Now, I don't care if they're buddies off the field. It doesn't matter to me. If your buddy's off the field and you want to give him grief, give him grief after you shower up and get dressed and everybody cools down. I understand that Jeffrey is a guy who does a lot of chirping, a lot of trash talking in practice. So does Cam. So does J.C. Latham. But in this kind of a situation, you make physical contact and then you mock him to his face, you should expect to be pushed. Now, what's happened is this instigated with an unnecessary mockery by the rookie quarterback. We're talking about it on talk radio. Fans are tweeting about it left and right. The media is talking not just Jeffrey about it. They're talking to Jarvis Brownlee. They're talking to the coach. They're talking to everybody. This is this big old massive giant story that's a huge distraction, and it shouldn't exist at all. Because the quarterback should have had enough respect for his star on defense to not walk up and push him in the back just so that he would turn around to be mocked. Now, I think that was a terrible move by Cam. That doesn't exonerate Jeffrey. You can't put your hands on the quarterback, but right now we're just talking Cam. And I think that Cam, he should apologize not just to Jeffrey, but to the coach and to the fans for instigating what is a huge distraction for a team that doesn't need distractions.
No, you're right in a sense about that, Trevor. I look at it from this standpoint. Because I think it's allowed in a sense because, one, because of what happened some weeks prior when Jeff and Cam were going at it. And everybody loved that. And yes, it was verbal, and it was back and forth sparring, and they loved that. The fans loved it. So when your quarterback does this in practice, the fan base love it. Why? Because we haven't seen this. We haven't seen an alpha dog on offense that's going to get in someone's face the last two seasons, and we've been screaming for that on offense. So when Cam does it, listen, I'm in agreement with you. Cam shouldn't have went up to him and bumped him because you're going to – with a defensive guy, and you explained it right, Trevor, with a defensive guy, they've been battling, and he's just going to go off. But I would rather have that from an offense that has lacked that for the last two seasons or the last 2 years than to not, you know, because this team is looking for an identity. But I get what you're saying. But I think because of what happened initially last week or 2 weeks ago, when another situation comes up like this, the mocking and the celebrating, I think fans are looking at it as, this is what we've been wanting. And Cam is looking at it as, I did it the first time, there was no big deal, so the second time shouldn't be a big deal either. And I know after it was all said and done, they didn't think it was a big deal. But like you said, you can't, as a quarterback, you got to understand what's going on. And as a defensive guy, you got to understand, even if a quarterback does that, can't put your hands on them. That's just the way it is. There are positions and players in sports that no matter what, they can start a brawl. But you better not touch that guy or girl. You better fight everybody else. And I think that's what Jeffrey understood. But in the moment, like you said, as soon as I got pushed, I ain't trying to look who it is. I'm just turning around and mushing the first person I see that I believe who pushed me. And it was the quarterback. So I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I think the way he answered the questions, I would have liked for it to be a little bit different, but it was what it was. So I agree with you that, you know, Cam shouldn't have done it. It was immature to do, but because he had already did it weeks prior, he probably thought it was okay. And then again, this is, you know, you for you and us, Trevor, if we would do exactly what you said, wait till we go in the locker room, and then we would rib you in the locker room, and we would have fun with it. But these kids nowadays, they're not waiting to get in a locker room. They want to show you right then and there so everybody can see it. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. Would you have done it? No. Would I have done it? No. But that's what these kids are doing now.
Now, Demas, I think most people agree with you. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, when Cam was standing up for himself with Jeffrey and John with him and all that stuff, I thought that was great, too. Mm-hmm. The thing about this, though, I see this as different because I don't think it was courageous. He knows that nobody can touch him, so he can mock anybody he wants. That's not courageous. That's easy. And then I don't think it was leadership by Cam. Leadership, if he wants to go celebrate and if he wants to have some good-natured ribbing of the defense, the way to do that is to run into the end zone and celebrate in a big, loud way with Calvin Ridley, who caught the pass, not to shove the defensive tackle, who had nothing to do with it, really, in the back and then mock him to his face. So, you know, and again, I don't know their personal relationship, but I think most people agree with you. And, you know, you make good points, Steve, as you do. But I just wish that Cam had handled this differently, because we're talking about it today, and this will be talked about until there's something else to talk about.
We're talking with Trevor Maddich. And Trevor, there was a really good in-depth article that Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler put together for ESPN, and it went back through a lot of the archives of first picks overall that have had a lot of turmoil and some impatience and pitfalls with the system around them. And there was a great quote in there, and I wish I had it right in front of me, but it's, organizations fail quarterbacks just as often as quarterbacks fail. Something to that effect.
I have it right here. Okay. It was from Dave Ziegler, Titans assistant general manager. You got it, basically, Willie.
Okay.
Well, there's a saying that organizations fail quarterbacks more than quarterbacks fail themselves.
Okay, so let's use Bryce Young and Caleb Williams, who already have seen turnover, quite a bit of it, in the guys calling the shots for him. So the theme of the article is, what can the Titans learn from this? What have they learned? What have they seen? So as you think about that in a broad sense, Trevor, what comes to mind of what they have to avoid?
Well, I think it's a great thing to have to understand, because it's a complex thing. I mean, that article is a wonderful article by TD and by Jeremy, and it was great. Everybody should go read that. But they talked about how the last two head coaches with a number one pick in the draft at quarterback were both fired before the season ended, of that quarterback's rookie season. You know, and so there are a variety of reasons, I guess, for that, but it's not like you draft a quarterback number one and then everybody's all happy and rich and goes to the Super Bowl and has a party. And so, you know, I think that you're right, they're bad organizations. I mean, the Chicago Bears have long been known as a place where quarterback careers go to die. The New York Jets, same way. The New York Giants, since Eli, same way. And so we'll see how Daniel Jones does, who was signed from the Giants by the Colts now, and he's their starting quarterback. We'll see if all of a sudden he flourishes where he couldn't in New York. And so, you know, really it comes down to a couple of things that the Titans are saying the right things about. It's about continuity with coaches. It's about learning the quarterback's abilities and the things that he struggles with, and tailoring the offense to his abilities first, protect him from what he struggles with so he can have success while you're working on some of those other things. These are things that they're trying to do with Cam Ward, and I think that's one of the reasons that even after a miserable season last year, they retained this staff. So it's the same head coach, same quarterback coach, same offensive coordinator, and this is all good for Cam Ward's development, because he's not having to learn new things. But part of it, too, is Cam Ward, because it's not just that organizations fail quarterbacks. Sometimes quarterbacks fail organizations as well. And I kind of think that it's a little bit of both up in Chicago with Caleb Williams. And Cam Ward needs to make sure that he has a personal humbleness to go with a professional arrogance. The professional arrogance means on the field he's got to believe that he's great. But the personal humbleness needs to be that he knows that he's not great yet and he has a lot to learn. And in order for him to maximize his career and his responsibility to his teammates, he needs to do things within the offense the way he's coached, and not run around and make plays on his own from his talent like he used to do in college. And the degree to which Cam can submit to that personal humbleness will be the degree to which he does not fail the organization. I think up in Chicago with Caleb Williams, it's a great example. Caleb didn't have, I think, the coaching around him and the personnel around him to do the things that might have maximized his natural talent, but I think his natural tendency is to do what he did that got him the Heisman Trophy and to be the first pick in the draft, and if somebody tells him to do something different, he doesn't want to do it. Right? Cam has to avoid that.
Trevor, real quick, we got about a shorter answer for this, but I want to get your perspective, because we had a couple of good different ones based on Cam's performance against the Falcons, right? The stats don't look good, but he clearly took some shots down the field and maybe passed on some check down throws that might have made the stats look easier, might have kept some drives alive. Dan Orlovsky in particular said, hey, I'd rather have a guy test the boundaries a little bit in a preseason game. Are you okay with that philosophy, or are you more, you would like to have seen him take what the defense gives him a little bit more?
I'm okay with that philosophy right now, because part of what he needs to know is what are the limitations of his receivers? What can they do down the field? And, you know, as long as once he gets into the regular season, he takes what's there, because there's always something there. The defense will always give him something. He needs to recognize that quickly and get the ball there. But, you know, he had some very nice throws that were not complete, that were almost complete, but that were just beautiful. And I thought on a couple of them, the receiver could have done a better job of laying out for the football. But overall, I was, even though he was 2 for 7, I think, against the Falcons, I thought Cam did some really good things that built from the first preseason game. And so I actually am not upset about some of the things that statistically don't look that good, because I saw some growth.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He is brought to you weekly by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
Trevor Maddich on the program. We will react to what Trevor had to say, because he had a strong take on Cam Ward's involvement in the skirmish with Jeffrey Simmons, and we did get some reaction on our text line during Trevor's segment that we will read. But if you have any sort of reaction, you let us know at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.